Okay, so we've been studying what topic?
Encouragement.
How did you do this week? Were you able to encourage anybody? Make a special effort? Maybe something a little more? We talked last week about Naaman. And to be a good encourager, or to be prepared to be encouraged, what do we say needs to happen? What do you need to have, or what do you need to be?
You have to be interested. You have to look at the person.
See, you have to be interested, right? You have to notice.
Yes.
All right, and to notice, you have to maybe look where a little less and where a little more. So a little less at who?
You.
At yourself, and a little more at others. Right? Because it's easy, right? You wake up with yourself, right? You walk around with yourself. You're talking to yourself. Right? You're with yourself a lot. Okay? And so it's easy to kind of focus on yourself. It's harder to notice others. And then when you do notice others, since sometimes we don't always want to do what?
Help
or get involved.
Yeah.
And sometimes you see, you're like, whoa, man, that's a mess.
And you know what, brother?
Yeah.
I can't understand that you don't want to put yourself out there because you don't know how the other person's going to receive it. You know, sometimes people can have that attitude, this is my life, you mm-hmm. can't judge me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what keeps us from,
yeah. Okay, so we don't always know. So to be a good encourager, you got to look a little less at self. You don't ignore self or you get in trouble. Okay, so you look a little less at self, a little more at others. You have to be willing to get involved a bit. And what keeps us from that is sometimes, you know, one of the things is we don't know how people are going to receive it. That's true. At work, you know, I work with, well, I've got a team that's global, but I work with particularly more leaders in the U.S., and they'll come up with great ideas, and I'll say, well, did you think to share that with your colleagues, like, in the Southeast or in the Northeast? Or, well, you know, they're not going to want me to tell them how to run their business. So, well, we don't have to tell people how to run their business, right? Like, I've never been upset when people want to help me do really well at something that's important, right? I mean, occasionally, but usually, if we do it in the right spirit and approach it in the right way, sometimes people are in a really bad place, but for the most part, people are open. So we talked about Naaman, and when we talked about Naaman, we said it was both, how did he even know to go and to look for someone to help him?
There was this girl,
young girl, who was captive, right? So she didn't have to speak up. I mean, think about it. You're captive, and it's like, you know, what her attitude could have been. And then even once he got there, and he was expecting, he had certain expectations, and I think maybe some of his expectations were a little out of line. But for the most part, when you really think about it, I don't really think his expectations were that out of line. And we talked about that last week, so you have to go back and look because I won't go through all of that. But the point is, he almost didn't go and do what he was asked to do, right? And those servants of his, they could have kept quiet. I mean, there was risk there. I mean, this is going up to the commander. And he's clearly not happy. I mean, he says he was furious. Like, how many of us then wanted, oh, now that he's furious, let me go help? and he's the commander, and you're a servant, right? I mean, this is, they could have just said, okay, I'm just going to brush this horse some more, okay, or whatever, okay? I mean, I'm going to just stay over here. But they didn't. And usually, probably the last thing I'll say here on Naaman is, when you're expecting something big, when you need something big, you expect the solution to be big. Right? Like if you're going to be healed of cancer, you don't expect someone just to say, like we said, you know, drink a glass of water. If you drink this glass of water, your cancer will go away. It's like it can't be that easy. Right? And it feels like you get fearful. We talked about, you know, fear generates anger. It generates frustration. Okay, because you get scared that I put all my hope in this and maybe this isn't going to work. Like he's not even coming out to talk to me. And it can't be just seven times in a dirty river and my leprosy goes away. But the impact, it changed his life. It changed his life because people encouraged him to do the right thing. If they had asked you to do something huge, right? When you think about taking the city of Jericho, I mean, does that battle plan make sense? It just seems too easy, right? And I know we don't want to get up and we don't want to have to march 7 days and keep going, you know, wow, it seems like, but it's a whole lot more, it's a whole lot easier than going hand it, you know, trying to break through and climb walls and, you know, just go around and you blow a trumpet and it drops, right? So sometimes the easy things work. All right, but we don't want to get involved. And that takes us to what I want to talk about today, which is if you want to flip to Exodus chapter 4, I want to talk about our friend Moses. For today. Exodus chapter 4. And let's read the first 9 verses if someone would. Exodus 4, 1 through 9.
What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Then the Lord said, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was leprous like snow. Now put it back into your cloak, he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first miraculous sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these 2 signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground.
Okay. Thank you. So what's going on here?
I'm trying to convince Moses to go lead people out of Israel.
Okay. Okay. All right. And how's Moses feeling about this?
Moses doesn't want to go.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's not thrilled with the idea.
He's not jumping up and down.
Yeah. Now, I started in chapter 4. Is this the beginning of the conversation?
No.
This conversation's already been going. All right, if you look back chapter 3 in verse 9, it says, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and what?
Let us go
I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And what's verse 11 say?
See, that Moses doesn't feel sufficient to do this.
Yeah, he says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Egypt, Israel, out of Egypt? Right? So, have you ever felt not enough? Have you ever felt maybe not up to the task? Things that feel overwhelming. You remember our list of depression that we created on the first, when I asked, so what's challenging about this life? And
could Moses be somewhat scared, though, because he fled from Egypt and been murdered somebody?
Of course.
Hadn't been back in front of Pharaoh since then. He might not be all that excited about going back to the leadership because he ran from him as a murderer. Now you're telling me to go back, talk to the guy face to face? I don't want to put myself in that position.
No, but wasn't this another Pharaoh? It wasn't the same Pharaoh when he fled.
Is it
right?
Not? Is it not? I don't know.
It was a different Pharaoh because this Pharaoh that he's going back to didn't know the people. He didn't even know Moses. This is what I understand from my reading now. We didn't want to check that.
All right. Well, I don't know. I'd have to look.
May be a different Pharaoh.
Yeah.
But it may not. But I think the reference you're thinking about is going from Genesis, the end of Genesis, to Exodus. And that's when the new Pharaoh arose and began to murder Jewish children.
Regardless of that.
They would still have the same status, a certain ranking.
Yes. Regardless, to Doug's point, it's the exact same Pharaoh or not, certainly the reputation would be there, I would think, going back and knowing Moses. So he didn't want to go back. He didn't feel confident. And, he tells God, who am I? Right? Who am I to go? And so God tries, this is God encouraging, trying to encourage. Remember, we talked about that word means. Is to give more courage, right? To build up, to support. He's trying to build Moses' courage up. In verse 12 of chapter 3, he says what? I'll be with you. I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Okay, so this conversation is going. Moses isn't thrilled about this idea. And they go back and forth. And then even to chapter 4, where we're reading, Moses answered and said, verse 1, but, when I go, because he said, well, who should I say, sent me? And he says, and again in chapter 3, verse 14, and so, tell them that I am sent you, right? I am who I am. That the I am has sent me to you, right? So God has an answer for every question that Moses has. He's trying to help him understand, trying to build him up. And then he gets to verse 20, he says, well, but suppose they won't believe me or listen to my voice. When you're encouraging someone, What's a characteristic that you need to have sometimes? What is God showing here?
Patience.
Persistence. Patience.
Compassion.
Right? He's understanding. Okay? I know this is hard for Moses. Right? In our encouragement, how many times do we do the drive-by one-time encouragement? Hey, sorry, your whole life just blew up. Good luck with that. I'm thinking about you. And then you never, right? or they have something big is going on in someone's life. Those fair weather friends. Okay, so encouragement, sometimes people are hard. People are work. We are work. You are work. Right? We're all a piece of work at times in different ways. And we need people who are patient with us and who are persistent and who are long-suffering, just as God is towards us and as Christ is towards us. Now, comes a point, which we'll read here in a little bit, he's pushing God to the limit, right? We all have a bit of a capacity. But what does he tell them? So in chapter 4, he says, but what if they won't listen to me? Well, they won't listen to my voice. What does God do?
He will. Aaron will speak for you.
He will. He'll get to that. You're right.
He reminds him who he is. I mean that is pretty frustrating. You know, because he's not even counting that having God on his side, who just did these two miracles, like with the rod and the hand, that's not even of any count. That's not enough.
Okay, so he's showing him, I mean, one of the things he does is he tries to prove to him power. He goes, what's in your hand? Right, verse 2, what is that in your hand? And it's almost like a kid, he's a rod. Right? Okay, a rod. And he says, you know, cast it on the ground. So he does, and I mean, look at what happened. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Right, can you imagine? I mean, that's like the last thing he's thinking is going to happen. Okay? I mean, he just throws it down, all of a sudden the thing becomes a snake. That's pretty impressive to Moses. And he's trying to show him, I mean, that's not a mistake by God, that, listen, that's an unexpected thing. Is that not a sign that God, that I am with you? Right? You haven't seen that all the time. He fled from it. Of course, then it takes a little faith for verse 4. He did say to grab it by what? Okay, at least he didn't say grab it by the head. Okay, that would have taken probably even more faith. But grab it by the tail. He did. He reached out. He grabbed it. And it returns to a rod. And then the second one is what? What's the second one he does? Leprosy. Okay. Put your hand in. Pulls it out. It's leprous. He puts it back. And it's healed again. Okay. And it shall be, verse 9, if they do not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land, the water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land. So he tells them of something else that he can do. He doesn't do it there in the moment, but that should get people's attention. All right, someone read verses 10 through 17.
And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words into his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be in thee instead of thy mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod to thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs.
Okay. Thank you. So in verse 10, now it's like, okay, he's told me to go. When I don't know, when they ask me who sent me, he's already answered all that, so I have an answer for that. If they don't believe me, he's given me 3 signs to do. Okay? So now what is he down to? I can't speak. Okay. Lord, I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. All right. So after all of this, and God is encouraging him, giving him tools, helping him understand, he says, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue, verse 10. And what does God say to him? Who made you, right? Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? And so what is he trying to tell him?
Well, he said it several times. I'll be with you. He's repeating that. But I think it's easy for us sometimes to get on to Moses here. But I don't know that we're being fair to him. What God's asking of him is a big deal. I mean, you think about Esther in a similar situation. Pharaoh could easily, if God wasn't with him and he was just a man going in, Pharaoh could kill him at any moment.
Of course.
And also you think Moses has been gone for 40 years and he's created this life out here with Jethro, his family. He's giving all that up. And he's also a man that probably doesn't think too highly of himself anymore. Yeah. He's not the same man that killed that Egyptian soldier. And so, it's kind of like, I think an illustration would be, if somebody comes up and asks you to teach a Bible class, yeah, for some people that's a really big deal. They don't feel confident. They don't feel like they can speak. But I think remembering what God says to Moses, if you're faithful, I'll be with you. And so I just think it's as much about overcoming ourselves and our doubt as a story of anything.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, when you think about people of the Bible, I mean, Moses is going to be one of those. Right, Moses did great things with God. Right, but he had the potential to do great things. God knows that. And sometimes we encourage, here God didn't send someone else. God didn't send a young servant girl, or didn't send other servants to go encourage him. Right. God did it himself. God knew this was a big deal for Moses. I mean, he knew this is when who helped Jesus after being tempted? I mean, he didn't send a Samaritan person, okay, to pick him up and to bring him food, or some person and all. I mean, all of a sudden someone could have showed up with food and to take care of him and people who he knew. God sent an angel to Christ, yeah, right, to take care of him. God knows, just like on the temptation piece, he knows how far, I mean, he knows what we need, how much encouragement, he knows how much support we need to do the big things. And when God tells us we can do something, we have to make a decision to believe him or not to believe him. And so here, he's like, God says, have I not, made your tongue and made, and so he says in verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. So he says, I'll be with you, I'm going to be with you, and now he's like, I will be with your mouth. I am going to take care of you, Moses. Okay? And teach you what you shall say. But he said, all right, verse 13, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Anybody but me, Lord.
See, and I guess that's for Brian's point. I guess that's scarier to me than going to Pharaoh or whatever you're worried about. You gonna tell God no? Like, that's what, to me, I just see Moses like, so he's out of here. By the time you're done complaining, you could have been there and handled it. And yeah. You know, God had shown him all these things, and your counter to whatever could happen to you is disobeying God. And what he knew of God, I don't understand why that was a question.
We're just hard sometimes, right? Our fear is real, and our emotions are real, and it impacts our judgment. It doesn't mean we make good decisions, and that's why we need help. That's why we need other people to help us and to give us perspective and to encourage us. So verse 14, you know, even God has a limit. Okay, yeah, this is starting to wear on him a little bit. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, now I thought this was interesting, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? And what does he say next about Aaron? What is, he says, I know that he can speak well. Which does imply what? God also knows what about Moses? That Moses doesn't speak well, necessarily. He speaks well enough because God's going to be with his mouth. So even if he, whatever, you know, slow to speech, not eloquent, I mean, I don't know what his issue was exactly. I don't know if he stuttered. I don't know if he has a hard time. But God's saying, in those moments, I will be with your mouth. Right? It's almost like what Christ told the apostles. He said, don't think about what you're going to say or what he goes, because why? I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit,
yeah.
Right? And you will know, right? It will come. He says, but I know he can speak well, and look, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in heart. Now, isn't it interesting? God chooses to use Aaron. Is that a positive? Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking along those same lines. I think it's interesting. God left that to last. Although it seems obvious to me, at least, that God knew he was going to get here with Moses, although he tried to not do it. But because he'd already pre-purposed Aaron to head that way.
Yeah.
Also, Moses had spent most of his life, the vast majority of his life, not knowing Aaron. So it's not like they've had a long history together. They're related, they're brothers, but Moses spent most of his life with the Egyptians and now out here to meet with the Median people. And I think it's because, I don't know if this is directly the cause or not, but it's an interesting thought, is does what happened at Mount Sinai later, does it happen if Moses steps up and says, God, I'll do what you want me to, if he doesn't have to put Aaron in a place of leadership? Because it was Aaron that made the golden calf. Maybe if that's Moses or someone Moses would appoint by God's hand, maybe that doesn't happen. And so sometimes when God calls us to a work, gives us an opportunity to do something, sometimes us being unwilling to answer God's call can lead to things, trouble down the road.
Yeah, there's always dominoes effect, positive and negative, to every choice, right? Becky, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I know you're wanting to focus on Moses, but just an overall perspective from us as outsiders, it's like, and this is kind of what Brian was saying, that when we think about our leaders today, you know, we want the preacher, we want to go to the church where the pastor or the preacher, I'm sorry, the preacher is very eloquent and speaks great. We want everyone around us to be, you know, perfect in everything they say. We want everybody to be the perfect encouragers and hit us just where we need it at that moment, every moment we need it. And that's what Moses, it's interesting that God chose Moses, and he didn't choose Aaron initially. And then it's like Brian said too, with Aaron, I mean, think about your overall perspective of Aaron. Rarely is there a good thing that you can say Aaron did, because many of his mistakes are what ended up being highlighted. But God obviously didn't choose the one that could speak eloquently like we do today. We want the person that can speak eloquently, and we overpass that person that's a good example of leadership, lives a good life, you know, reaches out to people, is an encourager, is kind of an overall person, because we want that person that can say things just right.
Yeah. Well, we're lucky we have both. So,
well, I think that's, I'm sorry.
It's all right, go ahead.
Well, I think this is a great application to, like, elders. Sometimes men are given the opportunity to be an elder, but they feel as though they have some weakness in them. They may be qualified, you know, they meet the characteristics, but they don't. And so sometimes the church really misses out, because men feel they can't live up to that. And when God's calling you and you meet the characteristics, that's God's call to you. And so sometimes we've got to step outside of what we feel comfortable with, and our life needs to get a little uncomfortable in order to be what God wants us to be.
So one of the things I find interesting here is God has just already done a couple of miracles with Moses. Why doesn't he just fix his speech? I mean, you ever think of that? I mean, could he? I mean, he did the whole leprosy thing. I mean, he just did the leprosy thing. Whatever neurologically or whatever's going on, he could have just said, okay, Moses, now talk. And he could have been Mr. Smooth. Right? I mean, could God not have done that? But he doesn't do that. He doesn't take that away from Moses. Now he's going to bring Aaron into the picture. Because look, at verse 15, it's not like Aaron's going to show up, and now Aaron, you know, is Ryan Seacrest or whatever, okay? He shows up now. It says, now you shall speak what? To him. And put, so now it was God was going to give Moses what he should say and take care of his mouth. God will probably still do that. And now Moses, though, you will speak to him and put the words in his mouth. This is getting complicated. And I will be with your mouth. Okay? And with his mouth. Now I'm going to be with both of your mouths. I will make sure that you say the right things to him, and that he says the right things. The patience of God, when you think about mercy, think about long-suffering, when we say he's long-suffering, he is long-suffering. Okay, I mean, we're hard work. Over and over and over again, we disappoint. Even great men and women. I mean, and people like Moses. Right? And I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. So I'm going to speak to you, and you're going to speak to him, and he's going to speak to the people. So that's how we'll do it then. But you're not getting out of it. Okay? This is good for you. You don't know it yet. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. All right, so Moses he needed a lot of support. Part of this is, you know, it's not a one-time encouragement. Is God active? You know, God just didn't give advice and was going to walk away in this. I mean, God is involved. Is he not over and over and over again, I will be right there with you? I mean, he's saying to the point of, I will be with your mouth. I will speak to you. You will speak to him. I will be with his mouth. I know what I'm asking of you is a big deal. I know it's scary. I'm going to be with you. You think about Psalm 23, right? You preparest a table before me where? In the presence of my enemies. I mean, you think about that. That's a powerful verse. It always has been to me. I'm going to send you right in there, and I'm going to prepare a table right there. And you're going to be able to eat. How easy is it to eat when you're scared to death? Or how easy is it to eat when you're so anxious? It's not. But I'm going to prepare a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. You're going to walk right in there. I'm going to lay it out, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to eat a meal. Why? Because I am your God. I'm with you. And you can go eat, and you can look at them while you're eating, and they're going to watch you prosper. Right? That's the God I want to serve. That's who I want behind me. So then, flip over to Exodus 14. So we got this whole thing going on, and there's plagues and all kinds of stuff happening. We're not going to go through all that. And in Exodus 14, starting in verse 10, and it says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid." Who's afraid? Children of Israel, right? I mean, they're scared to death. So now, this is after the death of the firstborn. Pharaoh says, fine, go. Just, this isn't worth it. Go. Right? But then he changed his mind, right? And he sent his armies after him, and Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel did what? Verse 10. They cried out to the Lord. Just like they had before. Remember, that's how this all started with Moses. He said, I've heard their cries. And now they're crying out to the Lord again. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Now you think about being Moses. Moses thought Pharaoh was the biggest challenge he'd have. God took care of that, right? That actually worked out pretty well. He had no issues with Pharaoh walking in there, doing his thing, saying the things that God wanted him to say. God was with him. People of Israel turned out to be tearing your hair out for Moses for a long time. Sometimes the obstacles in our lives, the ones that we think are the big ones, actually aren't the big ones. Sometimes it's the ones, the smaller ones, that don't go away ever. It's like a hyena that's always around. Right? You have that sin, that temptation, it's just like a hyena. And it's just always waiting for you to turn your back. And it's got tons of endurance. And it won't leave. And it just waits for you to be weak. Right? And it's patient and powerful. And these people can bring Moses down. I mean, you talk about murmurers right out of the gate. Verse 12. Is not is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? Did we not tell you already in Egypt? Remember this word in Egypt? Saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. You know, sometimes people try to help us. Sometimes people try to lead us to a better place. And it's hard to see over the horizon. This is one of these times where you just say, this is too messy, I'm walking away. Right? It's hard to see what could be. It's hard to see the blessings that await. All we can see is the challenge. All we can see is the negative. And we need people who will stand there and will encourage. And look in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, what? Do not be afraid. He can see the fear. Do they really want to be slaves? I mean, are they like whooping it up and having a great time as slaves in Egypt? No. But what do they fear? They fear it's going to be worse, right? I'd rather be a slave than be dead. I can't see a good life out here. And fear brings panic. It brings aggression. It brings frustration. He says, stand still and what? See the salvation of the Lord. He's trying to say there is something better. But calm your mind. Slow down. Stand still. And see salvation. See something bigger. See what God has planned for you. I mean, who's also had to live with all these plagues? I mean, these people, right? I mean, I bet they swept a locust or two, okay, out of somebody's porch or something. I mean, they're, right? I mean, have they not seen the power of God, like crazy stuff that's just happened? Frogs and everything else, and death.
God made a separation. Could have stood out their minds too, though. And partway through plagues, he said, this is going to affect my people. So you're going to be able to use Pharaoh, will be able to see that my people, I'm treating them differently. And they're not going to go through what you're going through. But that would have been something that could have stood out in the Israelites' mind and say, man, God saved us from that side. We didn't have to go through it.
I love verse 17. God speaking back to Moses. He says, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them, and I will get glory over Pharaoh. Yeah. Is all God's doing all of this?
Yep. Yeah, we're getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're getting there. That's a good point. And you can remember it for next week because we're just about out of time. So, you know, there's salvation. There's something better. He says, slow down, see the salvation. You know, when we're encouragers, sometimes we just need to help people slow the mind down. We catastrophize things, do we not? Like, I mean, we can 0 to 60 and make everything just gloom in no time. And think of all the reasons why this is going to be horrible. I mean, I'm pretty good at that. Okay? And sometimes you have to slow it down. Say the whole world's not going to come apart. Right? You've got to manage yourself and help others manage themselves. He says, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you when? Today. Now. You are going to have salvation. You are going to be free today. Like you are on the brink of something great. Don't go back. For the Egyptians whom you see today, what? You will not see again no more for how long? Forever. You are going to be freed today forever. So you think about this. You have God who's encouraging Moses, who's encouraging the people. Right? We encourage others, but we need encouragement. Don't just take encouragement. Don't be the person who comes to the party and never brings a dish. Okay? I mean, you can come and eat free for a while, but you don't get invited if you never bring a dish. Okay? Don't just be a taker and eat. This all depends, particularly in the church, it depends on a circle of, I can encourage you, but I can only encourage you because somebody is encouraging me. Right? And if we break that, then it breaks down. All right, thanks for your comments.